Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. Well, here we are again on my BBS radio podcast, Spiritual Activist. I'm Rahasia, Rahasia Uncensored, and you can always get more of my articles and what we're talking about on our website, which is the Lotus Guide website, LOTUSGUIDE.com. And I know most of us are getting tired of listening about coronavirus right now, but it seems to be what's going on. And as we look at what's going on, what's being shown to us, I think it's also important for us to look under the radar of the story behind the story. There's so much going on. I mean, we're talking about, look this up, HR 5717. I mean, everything is going on so big right now that they can get all this little stuff through. It's going to put 30% tax on ammo, 50% tax on guns. You require a federal license, you know, not only a background check, but you have to have a license. I mean, if you look at the presidential orders, executive orders, I think what people's going to start realizing right now is how much power the president and the people behind the president actually has. They have the power to declare war on anything, war on drugs, war on countries, war on virus. Once that happens, that opens up the door to many, many possibilities, martial law. There's executive orders where the president can come out and take all able-bodied men from their homes and put them in work camps. They can confiscate and seize all public and private transportation. That means buses, cars, planes, everything. People say, oh, they're never going to do that. Well, if they're never going to do it, then why did they make the executive order? You know, we have to ask, if that order is there, it's because they're planning on doing it. Now, I'm going to get into a couple things here that I don't want to get into too much, because they will take this down and they won't let it be broadcast. There's been many, many events. The 201 event last October. If you look that up and listen to the whole, wasn't a round table, but it might as well have been a round table discussion amongst the elites, Council on Foreign Relations, and the people that's in positions to really guide things, media. They were talking about what if, actually it wasn't even if, it's when. What happens when we do have a pandemic, which just happened to happen 6 weeks later? But everything they talked about at that 201 event is now happening. Everything from AI filtering, using algorithms, going through Facebook and Google and YouTube, and it's difficult to really get to the truth. And they even talk about, forget what they called it, it's something like flooding the internet or something. It's flooding something with their information to completely drown out all of the other alternative media outlets that have an alternative way to look at this. Like, for instance, this is hard to get, but if you really search, you can find out what China is doing right now. I mean, it's a coincidence, I guess, that North Korea, Russia, some of their closer allies really haven't been hit that hard. Wuhan is going back to work already. How does that happen? Yeah. Sure, they have a draconian kind of a suppression there where they could just force people to stay home. But it does seem a little suspicious. But now what's going on, and if you don't know about ghost cities, by the way, YouTube ghost cities, China, and see what they've been doing for the past 20 years. It'll blow your mind if you don't know about this. If you know about it, probably still blow your mind, come to think of it, because it's so crazy. But now what's going on is they're buying up our country, our companies, our corporations that are over there. Because our corporations, because of the virus that was, I think it's down to the point where it's saying it did come from there, but it was an accident, which still leads me to ask the question, what were you waiting to do it on purpose? Or how does that work, an accident? But let's just say it was an accident, and it just somehow got out of hand, and now they just happen to be handling it better than most people. What they're doing right now, because corporations are having a tough time globally, they're buying up the stock for practically pennies on the dollar. I think they have $1.3 trillion invested in our Federal Reserve, which is actually the global Federal Reserve. There's over 200 countries on the Federal Reserve system. How does that work? I mean, there's 200. Matter of fact, the only countries that aren't on it, the only countries that aren't on it are the ones that we're dropping bombs on, and people are scouring all over the place, the planet, trying to get the hell out of there because their countries have been devastated so much. Excuse me. So let's continue on here a little bit. I'm sure most of you by now know about the Dean Koontz book, The Eye of Darkness. That was 1981, and the book was written so specifically to this time. The town, the date, the virus, the researcher, everything, that it sort of wakes you up to the only possibility left. Either Dean Koontz was a time traveler or super psychic, or one of these narcissistic pathological morons seen the book and just decided to use it as a playbook. Either way, it's telling us one thing. Somebody in a very high level knew about this virus being released. Now, if they knew about the virus being released, stop and think about this, as difficult as this is. Everything that's happening right now is happening according to a plan. If it's out of control, that's part of the plan. If we get it under control, that's part of the plan also. This is a planned event. So you have to say, okay, if it's a planned event, which is almost assuredly so, we have to ask the next question. What is the story behind the story that's really happening? You know, like China taking over industry. I'm sure they've read the Art of War, because that's another playbook. And they've been playing this long game now for quite a while. So all I'm saying is we're in for a very adventurous ride. And I don't know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I told him, I said, you know, if I was an alien, you were an alien, we were like on our UFO looking at the planet Earth, I would have to say, if we were betting, because right now I can't say that. I'm biased to the United States. I mean, there's my shirt. It's the United States, though, that I know used to be and can be again, not the United States that is now, because things need to change. Things need to change. I think we're on the verge of a complete transformation and a transition from world governments. And if I was one of those aliens, I would have to be betting probably the imperialistic United States that has over 800 military bases spread out all over the world and has completely drained the resources and finances of the middle class and driven all the money to the top. This is another playbook. I mean, you look at Samaria, Greece, Roman Empire, it doesn't matter what you look like, look at England, you know, where the sun never sets on the English Empire. Well, it sets on the English Empire all the time now. We've had our day. And if I was a betting person that wasn't biased, I would have to say that probably the next century belongs to China, because I don't see enough Americans waking up to this. We're not waking up to this. So I would say buckle down right now. Don't catch the virus. Because if it plays out according to what the book was talking about, in the book, the virus sort of miraculously subsides and disappears. And it's curious that Trump used the same exact phrase. He says, I think this virus is going to miraculously disappear. That's right out of the book. But in the book, it comes back in the year 2030, which also happens to be part of Agenda 21, where they want to dramatically and drastically reduce the population of planet Earth down to 500 million people, which means 13 out of 14 of us need to find someplace else to live or don't live at all. And in the book, in 2030, this virus comes back with a vengeance. Now, I'm not saying that all this is true, but you have to give it some thought, because look at our past. We haven't given enough thought to so many things that's been going on for decades. When I was a little kid in the 50s, I remember commercials where they're putting fluoride in our toothpaste and our water to make our teeth healthy. And everybody believed it. But all you had to do is go to the drugstore or the Ace Hardware, pick up a can of rat poison and turn it over and look at the ingredients. It's fluoride. Why have we been letting them dump fluoride in our water for what, 7 decades? Why have they been spraying us with metric tons of dangerous toxic chemicals, aluminum oxide, barium, strontium, and a whole long list of other things? They even did a test down in Arizona about 3 or 4 years ago where they found live biological molecules in the chemtrails. I mean, what's that about? Why are they spraying us with molecules that are actually alive? And what is that doing to us as we breathe everything in? These are nanoparticles too, by the way, that passes through the brain-blood barrier. Goes right into your capillaries, right into places in your brain and your body that you'll never get them out, ever. You know, I think fortunately I live back in the forest. I'm surrounded by hundreds of acres of forest. I have a creek, deep well, a flume, spring. I have plenty of food, and I've been preparing for this though for quite a while, at least 2 years, seriously. I'm building a big greenhouse right now with thermal vents to keep it from freezing up or getting too cold or hot. I've been thinking about this, but unfortunately, so many people on the planet, the cognitive dissonance, even now, I've noticed this. And I'll tell you, I've been keeping track and I'm paying attention. I've told at least 20 people about this book by Dean Koontz. And I waited 1 week and started getting back in touch with them and asking them about the book. And do you know that half of them did not remember me even talking at length about that book? The cognitive dissonance wouldn't allow those words and concepts to be in their minds and disrupt any previous beliefs about themselves. By the way, if you want to read my book, you can go to my Facebook account, which is facebook.com/RahasiaPo. And I actually put my book up there because everybody's stuck at home right now. And stuck isn't really a good word, because this could be a really good time, you know, to do meditation, things like that. But if you want to read my book, To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems, you can read it for free. It's online right now on the Facebook account. And it was premature when I first wrote it and went to print about, 10, 12 years ago. Because the social consequences of our belief systems I mean, the wars, the unending wars that we've been in, one after another, that's been caused by false flags and everything else that we're now starting to figure out, finally, that's pretty obvious. Well, this is another war. And the war that we're fighting right now, we can't see the enemy. We can't see this virus. You know, we can't see electromagnetic frequencies, the 5G and all. We can't see our enemy. This makes it difficult for most people to wrap their heads around this so they can really process the information on a higher level of awareness. The words and concepts don't even sink in. Now, I think this is waking up a lot of people. I've been doing some checking, and there's a lot less chemtrails because I think they're thinking, whoa, you know, the whole world has been slapped upside the head right now, and they're paying attention. So maybe we shouldn't be spraying them with toxic chemicals, you know, because a lot of people might start waking up to that. And if you watch my previous podcast with David Goldberg, which I think he gave his life to give that information too, by the way, you'll see that there is an agenda. There's a mission behind everything that's happening. I remember William Cooper wrote his book, The Pale Horse, Behold a Pale Horse. And in that book, he says, don't be naive, because everything that happens in world government, it happens purposefully. If it's happening, even if they say it's an accident, it's not. It's a planned event. So we have to keep that in mind with what's going on. Now, all of that being said, that's all the darkness and the negativity, which happens to be true. But we have to release our fear. We have to release our apprehension and see that there are some good things going on the planet right now. I've been looking and seeing so much happening with even young people getting together and going out and creating groups to help elderly people. They've been doing parades, going by and singing, maintaining a safe distance, but helping the other kids and elderly people feel that they're not so alone. And this is a big deal. Even the delivery of food to elderly people that can't get out and is having a really tough time. But here's the strange thing to me. That is also an indication of how far we have sunk as a society, when it's really big, great news that, hey, wow, people are actually going out and helping other people. This is really great. That should be the way we are all the time. But we're not, but we are now. So maybe we can maintain that, because there's going to come a time when this is going to be either a deep, dark, void, black hole, or a portal. The Hopis talk about that. Matter of fact, I might read something to you by White Eagle. He's a Hopi indigenous elder. And I think it's time we start listening to some of the people that's been on this planet for thousands of years and didn't destroy it the way we are. I mean, look what white people, and I'm a white person, so I can say this. It's like weird too. There's things that black people can say about a black person that I can't say because it's, you know, socially unacceptable, but they can say, you know, we need to get over it. We are so sensitive. We are so fucking sensitive about every little single thing. You know, I've talked to professors that they can no longer teach history or philosophy or any of their classes the way they want to, because if they say anything out of line, the young kids that in the class, they get offended. They get together little groups. The first thing they know, there's a picket line outside. And then, since at the bigger major universities, the university really looks and puts the responsibility on them for about 40% of their income through grants, which means they have to write and publish books, publish or perish. It's a popular term around professors, and get grants to make up for their salary that they get from the university. And if they create too much conflict, we've created a situation to where they have to be real quiet and just toe the mark and not get anybody offended, especially Islamic groups or Christian groups or any of the religious groups, which this is in my book too, by the way, because religion is having a tough time right now. It's all coming out, and we're all starting to read everybody else's holy books and realizing, oh my God, you know, that's why they're so pissed off at us and think we're the devil's agent, satanic people. Because when you read like our Bible, read Deuteronomy or Leviticus. I mean, if my son drinks a little bit too much or gets sarcastic, I'm supposed to get 100 elders, take them on the edge of town and stone them to death. If I'm an Israelite in my little home country and a foreigner comes traveling through there, not doing anything bad, I have the right to take them and make them into slaves and buy and sell them, and their offspring are also mine for generations to come. I mean, are we all losing our minds or what? Isn't it time that we really look at our scriptures and our religious writings and take a big black marker and redact some of this? So other countries and other religions, when they read our book, it says, oh, wow, look, they say, love your enemy. Oh, wow, look, you know, they're talking about miracles and healing people. Not, you know, to go into other countries and people that don't believe the way you do and wipe them out. Read the Quran. I mean, if you read the Quran, it's just as bad. And I could get on a fatwa kind of a list for even saying that. I mean, what is the name of that video? There's a video out that really, really talks about this. I might think of it in a few minutes. But it's getting devastating for publishers, people on radio shows, people doing documentaries to put out the truth. There's a guy in Europe, he made a documentary and he's like in serious trouble. And the whole documentary, all he's doing is saying what they say about their religion. He didn't say anything about it. It's getting to the point to where if we're not careful, we're going to be living in a world of, we think this conflict is bad. Wait until everybody resorts to the next level of armament and goes into the nuclear phase of this conflict. Right now it's trade wars, it's a viral war, it's a social war, a financial war. That's how wars start. But right now we have advanced technology that will absolutely wipe us out. And if you think this hasn't happened before, think again and think again and think again until finally you get it. I mean, we found a hammer in a granite rock that was 590 million years old. That's 520 million years before the dinosaurs were wiped out. And it's 590 million years before the Christians say that 6,000 years ago is all of our planet just goes to that one point and God came down and, you know, Lord have mercy, the things we believe. You could take a mentally challenged child that heard the story of Noah, and I guarantee you halfway through this story, he's going to be raising his hand and say, wait a minute. How big is this boat? I don't see how this is going to work. And do you know that's not, I have a question that even occurred to our grandparents and most of our parents. Think about it, the logistics of that being true. And as it comes out, you know, people say, well, it was more symbolic, a metaphor. Well, then say it's a metaphor, but they didn't write it as a metaphor. For centuries, people believed that. Genesis. Where the hell did they get their wives? You know, that's something actually that occurred to me in Sunday school when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I thought about it. I didn't say anything, but I did say something. Remember the first Sunday, it was all about God was so happy with us and we were perfect and he was really satisfied. I think it was 6 and a half. And I thought to myself, okay, because I'm assuming that adults know what the hell they're talking about and they're not going to lie to me, surely, you know. So I'm thinking that this is really true. that there is a creator God and he created all of this and he's really happy with me. Whoa, that's such a good deal. Then I came back next Sunday and they continued reading in class and he tried to drown us all. And I raised my hand and I asked the Sunday school teacher, wait a minute, did I miss a Sunday? Because last Sunday he was so happy with us. Now this Sunday, he's trying to drown everybody except for a few little people. You know, later on I found out that Noah was a drunk. And I mean, my God, we need to wake up, people. We need to wake up and be brave. Like, there is not a fear bone in my body right now that some God is going to strike me with lightning for talking like this. God gave me this brain. God gave me this being, this perception, these eyes. Why did he do that if I'm not expect to use them? I'm using what was God given to me. And when I use the word God, I'm talking more about a universal consciousness that I have no idea what it is or how to explain it, because I'm part of it. It's part of me and it's through everything. I can't point to it because it's everywhere. It's inside in dimensions that I can't even explore yet because I need to raise my consciousness, which I think is what's going on right now, to be honest with you. You know, we're raising our consciousness. You know, like Einstein said, we're never going to solve the problems from the same level of thinking that created them. I mean, it's amazing that it took somebody that we call a genius to come up with that. But I think most of us at this point would recognize that that is a truth. So let's switch gears. I'm going to get a little more positive because I think there is an opportunity here to wake up. This is an opportunity to come to grips with our reality and who we are as people and start recreating another world. Because as we come out of this, we're going to be having a decision put in front of us. We can either go back to the way it was and look at this and really think honestly, how many of you out there really want to go back to the way it was? Do you want to go back to the same job, punch the same clock, drive the same truck, and spend a little bit of time with your kids on the weekend? The wife has to work too. You're having to work. You don't have enough money to really put the kids to a college or anything, but you're just working your little hearts out. Paying 30-40% of your day is spent working to pay the taxes, state, local, federal, not to mention sales tax and all the hidden. There's over 150 taxes that the normal person pays through the consumption of goods and paying for their work and their labor and all that. Do we really want to go back to that? Or do we want to create a different kind of reality where everything is a little more equitable? There should be a bottom line to where nobody can sink lower than that, which would mean everybody should get a certain amount of food, money, which is food, every month. And we should create villages to where if people don't want to be part of the system, they don't have to be. You know, we should put more money into the mental institutions because some of these people, I'm telling you, when I go downtown Chico or any of the major cities, especially San Francisco, Sacramento, it's easy to be judgmental, but a lot of those people, they don't know how to function in an advanced society with technology. They don't know how. A lot of them don't want to, and that's good too. I sometimes wonder if I didn't have so much responsibility and people depending on me and through relationships, I would think seriously about selling everything and coming up with enough money and living in a motorhome somewhere and just walking the planet like Kane did in Kung Fu, just being, because life can be so demanding and so overwhelming if you're trying to do the right thing, because the right thing is not right for you. It's right for the people that make the rules. So it's really taxing on our minds, our spirit, our soul, and everything. So when it comes time to recreate this, let's maintain this consciousness that we have right now. I mean, the reason you're listening to me is because probably you have time to sit down and listen to things that you normally might not listen to. We can create a better world. We created the last one through our indifference, but we created it. We let the psychopaths and the narcissists and the pedophiles and the people that are driven by power to come to positions of control to where they just looked around and went, ah, nobody's paying attention. We can do whatever the hell we want to do. And that's what they've been doing for a couple of centuries, by the way. Okay, I'm going to go back to trying to be positive here, because it, believe me, there is a positive slant to this. And there's a couple of things that I might read to you, because I think we need to stay positive, because that's part of the mitigation of this virus. All of everything that we do, say, believe, everything, think, feel, is feeding into our awareness. Matter of fact, if you want to do something right now, there's a system called Wim Hof. He does a breathing thing. I challenge you right now to take 30 deep breaths. Just breathe it in. Let it out. Breathe it in. Let it out. Do that 30 times while I'm reading this. Now you're going to notice something, because on the 30th breath, when you let it out, it blew my mind. Because I can hold my breath about a minute, minute and 20 seconds. I did this and I held my breath for 2 minutes without even thinking. Matter of fact, I just started breathing because I got tired of holding my breath. On the 30th breath, when you let it out, just relax and don't breathe in and watch what happens. What happens is you've been so oxygenated that your mind isn't craving oxygen and getting fearful. You've bypassed that and you've come to a level of awareness. And there's subtle little pieces of awareness that can creep in when you're that aware. So while I'm reading this, just take 30 deep breaths. And on that 30th breath, even when I get through, if you haven't finished, just keep doing that. And on your 30th breath, let it out and just sit there and relax. Okay. Take your first breath, and I'm going to start reading this. This is by White Eagle. This moment humanity is going through can be seen as a portal and as a hole. The decision to fall into the hole or go through the portal is up to you. If they repent of the problem and consume the news 24 hours a day with little energy, nervous all the time with pessimism, they will fall into the hole. And I see people doing that, by the way. But if you take this opportunity to look at yourself, rethink life and death, take care of yourself and others, you will cross the portal. Take care of your home, take care of your body, connect with the middle body of your spiritual house. All this is synonymous, that is to say, the same. Keep breathing, by the way. When you are taking care of one, you are taking care of everything else. Do not lose the spiritual dimension of this crisis. Have the aspect of the eagle, which from above sees the whole, sees more widely. There is a social demand in this crisis, but there is also a spiritual demand. The two go hand in hand. Without the social dimension, we fall into fanaticism, which I also see people doing. I see it even in myself. I have to be a little bit careful here, because it seems like if you're going to be a fanatic, this would be the time to do it. But we need to draw back from that. But without the spiritual dimension, we fall into pessimism and lack of meaning. You were prepared to go through this crisis. And I believe we were. Take your toolbox and use all the tools at your disposal. Learn about resistance of the indigenous and African peoples. We have always been and continue to exterminate them. But we still haven't stopped. They're singing, they're dancing, lighting the fire and having fun. Don't feel guilty about being happy during this difficult time. You don't help at all by being sad and without energy. It helps if good things emanate from the universe now. It is through joy that one resists. Also, when the storm passes, you will be given a very important opportunity for the reconstruction of this new world. You need to be well and strong, and for that, there is no other way than to maintain a beautiful, happy, and bright vibration. This has nothing to do with alienation. This is a resistance strategy. In shamanism, there is a rite of passage called the quest for vision, or vision quest. You spend a few days alone in the forest, without water, without food, without protection. When you go through this portal, you get a new vision of the world because you have forced your fears, your difficulties. Are you still breathing? This is what is asked for. Let them take advantage of this time to perform their vision-seeking rituals. What world do you want to build for yourself? For now, this is what you do. Serenity in the storm. Calm down and pray. Every day, establish a routine to meet the sacred every day. Good things emanate. What you emanate now is the most important thing. And sing, dance, resist through art, joy, faith, and love. Resist. And, you know, there's, keep breathing. Remember, when you get to your 30th breath, just let it out and relax and just continue listening. You know, there's an old saying, if you want to know what's going to be your world, your reality tomorrow, see what you're thinking today. If you want to know what your thinking was yesterday, look at your world today. In other words, what we think, we create our world. There's a little time gap there. We haven't become master emanators of conscious manifestation yet. But what we think does emanate out into our world like ripples in a pond. And it does reach all the way around through our morphic field. So it's really important to not get bogged down into this. And this is a good time, too, for families to get to know your kids. The ones that are probably driving you a little bit crazy right now. But sit down with them because I see the kids waking up to this and having fun. You know, turn off the TV once in a while and play some games and talk. You know, communicate and be with each other. Even do some quiet meditations. Transcendental meditation is really, really good, which is basically sitting still and quiet for 20 minutes twice a day and creating a word. You're supposed to get the word from them, but let's face it, it's just a word, a non-meaning word that doesn't have any baggage attached to it. And say it over and 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 over until you get into this quiet space and your mind quiets down. And then we're open to higher consciousness, higher ideals and thoughts that might come in that, because believe me, whatever it is we're supposed to create on the other side of this portal that we're going to go through, none of that information is here right now. So don't look around in this world for the clues or the solutions because they're not here. You're just going to make it worse. This is the opportunity that we've been waiting for to find that still, quiet voice. Another thing that's in the Bible that's really good information. That still quiet voice, because it's in that voice that you're going to get the information that will allow us to create another world. And it's going to come from the most strangest of people, probably. We're not even going to go, what? You know, that's a really good idea. How did you come up with that? We can all come up with this. And chances are we're all going to come up with some of these good ideas at the same time, you know? Same time Einstein came up with the relativity thoughts, there was at least two or three other scientists at the same time that was coming up with the ideas. It's just he got published and he was probably a little more colorful of a character, you know, which is why any of us probably make it through this world. If we can be a little bit colorful and entertaining and reach out and find some way to connect with people, it really helps. I have some friends that they have some of the best information in the world, but I can't even stand to sit there and listen to them for more than just a few minutes because the way they come across, it's so dry and monotone and boring. And you just go, okay, it's really good. So take care. And you're out the door. Then I hear other people that, they do have some good information, but they're so colorful, you know? I mean, look at Alex Jones. I swear to God, I think he's going to have a heart attack every time I listen to this guy. But he's dramatic and he's passionate. Even if half of it's just non-sequential bullshit conspiracy theories, there's a lot of good information in there too. If he had calmed down a little bit and come across a little more methodically, it would probably come across better. Because he gets on some rants sometimes, but in his rants, if you really listen closely, there's a thread of thought that's coming through that I think is probably being channeled through him. I don't think he could come up with it by himself. He does a thing on Joe Rogan. If you put in Joe Rogan and Alex Jones, listen to that 3 hour and something podcast and listen to what he starts saying about the reptilians and the government and the military and all. It's just really interesting. I'm not saying it's true in case the AI algorithms are picking this up, but it's just interesting. It's entertainment. But it's the kind of entertainment, if you get enough of this data and information and just set it quietly. You don't have to validate it. You don't have to negate it. You don't have to believe it. Please don't believe it. That's what's in my book, to believe or not to believe. Don't believe anything. You know, put it in a special pile until you can start validating it. And that's the only way we're going to get out of this mess too, by the way. I mean, when I wrote that book in, I think it was 2009. When I wrote that book, there was over 22 religious wars going on at that time. So I started looking into it and realized that one of the advantages that you get from fighting a war against them is when you fight the war and you've won and you go into the villages, well, guess what the soldiers get for a treat? They get the women of that village, and they're exposed to the most horrendous of acts of sex, and I mean, just unbelievable. I don't even want to go into it. It's so bad. I mean, what the Japanese did to the Chinese, I can see why China is so pissed off at them still. I mean, the Japanese get so out of hand, it makes most of the things that's going on right now in the world look like child's play, which probably isn't the best term to use in this. Because there's so much things going on with children right now, but all of it's being exposed. And I think we can really come to grips with that now with a new consciousness that we're starting to see that the world is a dangerous place. And most of our social systems are fragile. Our money, our financial system is fragile. Everything is fragile and it's illusionary. It's all made up. This isn't real. You know, it's not like I'm planting a garden. What's real is if I plant some vegetables and I pick them, I take them to my kitchen and fix them. Actually, my wife does, to be honest. Fix those vegetables and eat them. That's real. That is real wealth in my life. But things like the stock market and Wall Street, it's a complete illusion. And they get you to work your life away, put your life savings into this game. That's their game, and you watch. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, I'm not a psychic that I can tell you what's going to happen because it's part of the plan. What's going to happen is there's going to come a day, probably not too far in the future, where they're going to pull the plug on Wall Street. And when they do, before they do that, the big investors are going to get out at the very top of what they can get out at. They probably have already done this, by the way. They're going to wait till it collapses, use that phony money, that fiat phony money, and buy back into it. They'll end up owning all the companies and corporations and the businesses that were in Wall Street for pennies on the dollar. And they just suck all that wealth from the United States people that were naive enough to invest in it in the first place. Yeah, I'm sorry if that offends some of you, but if it does, it's because you're not thinking. What it should do is it should wake you up. You should go, oh yeah, that's what they did in 1929. That's what they've done several times. 2008, they build these big bubbles, they pop them, and they scoop in all the money, make the taxpayers bail them out on top of everything else. And we're stuck with a huge debt that we are so many trillions of dollars in debt. I don't even want to go into it because I know you've heard this so many times. And it's good that you have all this time at home right now, by the way, because I don't have to go into a lot of these things. We can just sort of lightly go into it. I don't have to validate. You can do it yourself. Oh, hope you're not still breathing. But if you did, and you let out that last breath, and you continued to listen to me, you see what happened? You can sit for 2 or 3 minutes, and you can build up to 4 or 5 minutes. Like Wim Hof, he swims underneath the ice cap for 5 to 6 minutes, holding his breath in freezing water. I mean, there's things we can do with our body that we don't even touch on. And yeah, it's good that we go jogging in the park and do the stair step things and do a few push-ups, but we can really go into realms with our mind and body connection that can take us to levels of consciousness that most of us have no idea about. I mean, we see people in the East or Middle East doing strange things, Central Asia, the monks, the rabbis, and the people that spend their whole life methodically doing certain mental exercises and physical and emotional exercises, but we don't have to spend our whole life. If you did that breathing thing, you just took about 5 or 6 minutes to take 30 deep breaths, let it out, and you can see for yourself. You can put your body in a position to where it's been so oxygenated, which is good in itself, that you don't have to breathe for at least a couple of minutes. And here's something too. There's a thing on, somebody sent me on Facebook, believe it or not, that they were talking about some of the things to do. Okay, one of the things I should mention briefly, it really looks like Advil and ibuprofen makes this virus at least 10 times worse. So stay away from those. There's enough evidence about that. And the other thing is, how are we going to get through this? If I could find this for you real quick, I would do it, but I don't know if I can. Hang on. Okay, there's a couple of things here. I'm putting on my responsible publisher, podcaster hat here for a second. It's about the coronavirus, just some good common sense things. Listen to this.
Update 1. 1. If you have a runny nose and sputum, you have a common cold. 2. Coronavirus pneumonia is a dry cough with no runny nose. 3. This new virus is not heat resistant and will be killed by a temperature of just 26/27 of a degree. It hates the sun. 4. If someone sneezes with it, it takes about 10 feet before it drops to the ground and is no longer airborne. 5. If it drops on a metal surface, it will live for at least 12 hours. So if you come into contact with any metal surface, wash your hands as soon as you can with a bacterial soap. 6. On fabric, it can survive for 6 to 12 hours. Normal laundry detergent will kill it. 7. Drinking warm water is effective for all viruses. Try not to drink liquids with ice. 8. Wash your hands frequently as the virus can only live on your hands for 5 to 10 minutes, but a lot can happen during that time. You can rub your eyes, pick your nose unwittingly, and so on. 9. You should also gargle as a prevention. A simple solution of salt in warm water will suffice. 10. Can't emphasize enough, drink plenty of water. Update 2. The symptoms 1. It will first infect the throat, so you'll have a sore throat lasting 3/4 days. 2. The virus then blends into a nasal fluid that enters the trachea and then the lungs, causing pneumonia. This takes about 5/6 days further. 3. With the pneumonia comes high fever and difficulty in breathing. 4. The nasal congestion is not like the normal kind. You feel like you're drowning. It's imperative you then seek immediate attention. Update 3. The new coronavirus may not show sign of infection for many days. How can one know if he or she is infected? By the time they have fever and or cough and go to the hospital, the lung is usually 50% fibrosis and it's too late. Experts provide a simple self-check that we can do every morning. Take a deep breath and hold your breath for more than 10 seconds. If you complete it successfully without coughing, without discomfort, stiffness or tightness, etc., it proves there is no fibrosis in the lungs, basically indicates no infection. In critical time, please self-check every morning in an environment with clean air. Everyone should ensure your mouth and throat are moist, never dry. Take a few sips of water every 15 minutes at least. Why? Even if the virus gets into your mouth, drinking water or other liquids will wash them down through your throat and into the stomach. Once there, your stomach acid will kill all the virus. If you don't drink enough water more regularly, the virus can enter your windpipe and into the lungs. That's very dangerous. So please do everything to ensure your safety during this pandemic. Update one. One.
So that last part, I really need to listen to that. There's no water on my desk right now. My wife would be all over my case right now for that. By drinking water every 15 minutes, especially if you're out and might be in a little dangerous situation, keep a little jug of water and drink it, because if a virus enters into your mouth or your throat through breathing, the water will wash it down into your stomach, and your stomach's acids, not to mention the heat, will kill it. You know, our body is so amazing. I mean, we have to help it do what it does best, you know. So hope you enjoy that. So think about that breathing and really become aware of what happened just then. Okay, well, I think we're coming to the end of the program right now, and I just want to thank all of you for listening, taking a few times, and I really do give some thought to my podcast, because I hate listening to a podcast where you just listen the whole thing thinking, oh, finally, you're going to get to the point, and never does. Well, I think the point here is maintaining a really good awareness of the situation, using common sense and logic, and at the same time, remembering that we are in a war right now, and our soldiers are our doctors, our nurses. And yes, we right now we have to listen to the CDC, the National Institute of Health, and all the agencies that we actually have some legitimate gripes against. But they don't want this. There's people. These are real people working hard to help us fight this. And they're going through some of the same things we are, but we have to keep our emergency medical service, our police departments, sheriffs, they're right out there. Right behind this place, a couple streets over, is the Paradise Police Department. These guys are out there dealing with people, and they have, a lot of them are catching the coronavirus too, not here particularly, but in the major cities, and it's going to be all over. So have some patience with people, some love, some compassion and understanding, and we're all going to get through this. And if you want to read the next issue of the Lotus Guide, I'm pretty sure we're going to print. It's just too important not to. But you can also read it online. You can read this issue online too at lotusguide.com. And if you feel like making a donation, no matter how small or large, you can go to lotusguide.com/campfire. We still have some links up there because we just went through one traumatic event in the November 2018 fire. I mean, we lost over 14,000 of our neighbors' homes, 4,000 or 5,000 businesses. And I'm lucky this building right here is still standing on Skyway in Paradise. But we've been through a lot. And if you feel like making a small donation, it all helps. Because right now many of our advertisers cannot either afford to continue on, and some of them, they just can't because they're too hands-on. I mean, some of the massage people, they just don't want to take a chance on spreading the virus. So we've lost a lot of our advertisement income, but we're still going to make this happen. It just, that's what we do. You know, rain or high water or anything else. We're going to get out there. So thank you very much for listening and paying attention and putting up with me for this 50 some minutes. And we'll see you again. And if you want to contact us, info@lotusguide.com. You can always call our center at 530-894-8433. And we're here to help. This is an information center. And if I can't answer your question, I'll forward it on to somebody who can. Peace with you. And remember to do your breathing exercises and wash your hands. Come.